listening to Women Who Change Tech, the podcast that gives you access to women who are contributing, inspiring, trailblazing, and disrupting the business of technology. We believe that when women inspire other women, amazing things happen. I'm your host, Allison Wade.
And I am your host, Jessie Sterenshoes, and we are connecting women around the world to share ideas that help us thrive and advance in our personal lives and in our careers.
Be sure to share this podcast with your friends, rate and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, and help us bring Women Who Change Tech into the lives of more professionals.
Hold on to your seats as we give you a dose of inspiration from some of the most talented and creative women who are shifting the face of technology. How have you been?
I have been great, Jessie. How have you been? What have you been up to this week?
Well, I just got back home. I was traveling a lot for work. In the beginning of the week, I was working in Dallas for a client. And then at the end of the week, I was working with Tyson Foods with their innovation lab. I had a great time working with them. I'm actually super excited. I can actually tell the world what I've been doing. So I've been working with them on their dealing with food waste project, and they actually got written up in Time Magazine for the top 10 best sustainable products of the year in 2018. And I've been helping them since the beginning from about a year ago. So I'm like super proud of them. So that was super exciting.
These are the people that turned trash into potato chips, right?
Yes. These are your dinosaur chicken nuggets people who turned waste into yummy, yummy chips. Yep.
That is incredible. What an amazing use of food waste. We could use more of that stuff in the world. That's pretty incredible.
It is. And they are a very, very diverse team in every sense of the word. And they're incredible people as well. So I think that's why I'm really proud of them. What have you been doing?
Well, it's truth time here. I had a really rough week, actually. We launched our Women Who Test website. Mm-hmm. We relaunched it, actually. It had been built quite a long time ago. It's built in WordPress. We had it hosted on Amazon. We got all excited. We thought we were all tested and ready to go. And the website launched, and we sent out a big email to our entire database, and two things happened. This is how you know there is about failures in software. Two things happened. One is we did not anticipate the response rate that went out from the people that got the email. We track our response rates. We have a great marketing team. They're very clear usually about what the expectations are. And so we did not have the site hosted in a place that could take enough traffic. And we got this overwhelming response. Mm-hmm. So the site crashed.
Oh no.
Which really sucked. But the good news is that tells us how amazing this format is, and that there are so many women who are interested in what we're doing, who are interested in building a community and working together. So we adjusted pretty quickly. We moved the site to a larger instance, and we had to recover some stuff, but we learned from it and we're moving on. So there you have it. Truth in the organization that teaches quality, these things happen, right?
They certainly do. Well, we are excited. Today we have a fantastic guest for you. Her name is Marian Phelan, and she is a woman who leads a software development company called HashRocket. I first met Marian back in end of 2008, 2009. We're not quite sure. HashRocket was one of my very first tech clients. So I have a long history of working with Marian, all of the Rocketeers, from BizConf to OpsConf. Marian has been at all of the OpsConfs. She has also been on all the workshops, which there are lots of stories, crazy stories there of her and I getting lost in random forests and random countries. And I cannot wait for you to meet her. Also, Allison, you met Marian on one of those events, didn't you?
I did. She was my roomie in Scotland.
Scotland.
Yeah.
Nice. So, welcome, Marian.
Very nice to talk to you guys again. And it's, yes, memories of Scotland coming back.
I know. It was a great time. All I think of when I picture you, Marian, is you and Jesse and Diana.
Oh, no.
With those beasts, those woolly beasts in the fields.
So happy we made it back to tell the story.
Yeah. Yeah, wait, that was close.
One of many close calls Marion and I have been a part of.
Yeah. For just to inform our listeners, these three ladies got lost and separated from the group because it was a really strenuous hike and they decided to ditch the trail. And they walked into the tiniest little town in Scotland. And there was zero transportation. So they literally had to knock on doors to find a way back to the B&B where we were staying. And I was already back at the B&B for other reasons, which we won't go into.
Hashtag cartwheels.
Hashtag cartwheels and torn ligaments. But they truly found an interesting group of fellows to drive them back to the inn. And they had to stop and feed beasts on the way. So there you go.
Mm-hmm. Luckily, we weren't fed to the beasts.
That's right. Right.
Yeah, I was a bit worried when they started mentioning Deliverance. So,
as any person would be when any stranger you're hitchhiking with mentions Deliverance, and takes us to feed large bulls or whatever they were. Good times.
So we survived.
It's amazing you wanted to come back to the walk shop next year.
Well, I always like to. I like a challenge, and I like to go back in the ring again, and just to make sure that I remembered it the way it was. So.
Right. Yeah, you have to have a good story to tell every year.
Yeah, every year. And Jesse, you're really good at making sure that happens.
Right. I'm here for you.
It's her special talent.
Yeah.
Yes, it's my gift, my only gift.
So Marion, tell our listeners a little bit about Hash Rocket, what your company does and who you are. I know you have offices in Jacksonville, Florida, and also in Chicago. So would you go ahead and tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So Hash Rocket began back in 2008 with an office in Jacksonville, Florida on the beach. And we started pretty small, like at 5, but over the years we've grown and shrunk a little as depending on the level of talent or the developers that are here or working in the group. So we're usually between 26 and 30 in size. So all of our developers are Ruby on Rails developers, but we do probably 30% of our projects in Elixir. And we use a lot of React on the front end. Most of our projects would be web applications and mobile web applications. We do a lot of also React Native development. But, again, most of our developers started in Rails and then expanded. One of the proudest things that I have to share is that some of our developers have been at Hash Rocket more than 7 years, which is a really long time in tech. And I feel like it's a good benchmark to measure our culture and feel the challenge of being able to keep talented individuals engaged and growing throughout their career, which can be a challenge for a lot of companies.
Definitely. In tech, I feel like what's the data behind is like maybe 2 years at the most or something, maybe less.
Yeah, I think on the West Coast, they're saying it's 6 months now. So.
Wow, seriously?
That's incredible.
Yeah, we have a lot of projects, people reaching out to us from the West Coast because a lot of the projects we get brought in now after 10 years plus in the business are, where we're being brought in as experts to help existing applications and to level up developers that other companies have been able to hire but don't have the expertise that we have.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible. That must lead to like a huge lack of continuity in products when you have developers who are jumping every 6 months to somewhere else. That's really
that's crazy. But I mean, I think the biggest problem is for companies is building and maintaining a culture that can keep talent because a lot of businesses they have the pressure of business and they can't focus on keeping developers happy and keeping people engaged. Because they have a lot of other business constraints as well. But so usually when we're hiring or helping our clients hire, we advise them that the first thing they must do is find office space, a culture, a space that would be conducive to building the software and having a really good environment where they can share and collaborate in.
Can you tell us more about that? Like, kind of describe what that looks like in your mind?
For one particular client that we had in Miami, they were a pretty big business in the auto industry. And so they had a lot of different types of people working there. Some people were in sales, some people were in different parts of the business, and even some of it was, there was a lot of different skill sets. And we found that the developers, the environment wasn't always conducive to maybe a calm environment where there was room for good equipment with conference rooms to have meetings, quiet spaces for difficult, you know, when difficult work came up, or even really a good space where you could pair with other developers so that you could talk through a problem.
Yeah, I've heard that initially it was that sort of big move towards having these open kind of work environments where you had, you know, small walls and you could collaborate. And there was a huge movement towards that. But I think that what's been discovered is that as much as that environment is needed, they also needed kind of the cave effect, because when developers are really concentrating, they really need a quiet environment. So having open spaces where they could work and then caves they could go back to, the problems were when they stayed in the caves and never came out.
And something I've learned early in HashRock, and I'm sure Jesse noticed too, but it's the engagement or the disengagement time or the effect. So always being careful to, when disturbing developers who are working on a problem, even if they're pairing, just asking some kind of a small question could derail them for 15 to 20 minutes because, you know, they're coming out of the zone, they're answering the question, and then they have to get back in their groove again. So, you know, just kind of trying to make sure the environment times the interruptions and allows the flow of work so that developers are not disturbed and they actually have the comfort of other people or other people to help if there is something they're a problem they run into. So it's nice to have an open space, but also an opportunity to just go off to a separate space and work alone or work as in a pair is essential.
And what about the people, the types of people?
So you mean types of people that are...
In terms of the culture. Okay. I think one thing that's really interesting that I've noticed just kind of being, in a sense, kind of part of the journey from afar, if you will, is even people that are no longer with HashRocket that are still Rocketeers still very much feel a part of HashRocket, even long after they're gone. They're still a part of the culture in some way.
Right. I think that we benefited a lot from what was the Ruby on Rails community and still is the tenets of that community of sharing and helping each other do better. So I think we embraced that fully as that community grew back in 06, 07, 08 when we started, where you had this open source culture where there was no problem sharing what people were learning. Nobody was protecting the information they had. And just like that, people were willing to help with any problem that came up. So I think we benefited from being in the Ruby on Rails framework and benefited from the community around that and built our culture to fit that and maintain that.
Yeah, that was one of the earlier open source groups, wasn't it?
So yeah, I think it was one of the first communities, and we saw that really grow strongly around 2008 when apps like Twitter and Basecamp were running in Ruby on Rails. At the time, we also benefited from Rails was really new, and there was a lot of demand for needing help to get set up, get people set up in those applications. At that time, probably 47% of our clients were startups, whereas now, because there's other ways to get applications started, maybe even, and people are building MVPs now, they do sprints, and they do clickable demos before they launch, which has really, you know, has changed the space somewhat. But at that time, we really benefited from being able to be there to share and get more people involved in Ruby on Rails and become a sharing culture.
Love that.
That's awesome. So you are a female business owner.
Yes.
and you're working in a, what I would call a male-dominated industry.
Right.
Have you found any particular challenges being a female business owner? And if so, how have you addressed these?
So my background is in accounting and finance. So I, back in the day, it was also there were smaller women community on the management or the leadership position. So I may have learned early on to understand that there may be some lack of knowledge around the value that women bring to businesses mm-hmm. and to the people side of things. And I think maybe what I've seen is that the nurturing advantages that we often see with women managers has been a great advantage in the tech mm-hmm. where you may not always have the best communication between people, or when you're dealing with people whose focus is engineering or go into very deep thought, they may not be the best at communicating. So I've found that it's been a great advantage being a woman and having the skills from working with a lot of people and working with managing businesses. And honestly, I haven't had a lot of bad experiences. I felt pretty welcome in the tech community. I feel like I'd like to encourage women to challenge themselves, be the best they can be the talented person they are first and a woman second, and not to focus too much on the constraints they may have, because I feel there's a lot of lack of information. And the more women in strong positions we have, the more talented women we have that people work with, the better it will be, because there will be no, I find even now that I feel that people gravitate towards having women in teams because there's certain skill sets that are more natural to women. And I don't want to be stereotypical, but I feel like that I often see like, oh, well, that would be great having women on the team, having women in certain roles, and really does add value to a team. And, you know, I know there are lots of statistics about teams with women and teams with women leading teams as mm-hmm. have great advantages. So I'd like to say that people should keep going and keep challenging themselves and not find the problems or the obstacles, but just build on gains and small wins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Have you been able to find women or build a more diverse team, if you will? Have you had trouble with that?
It's been hard because we, at the level that we're hiring and the expertise, mm-hmm. and I've always felt it's women in any industry on the higher levels will always suffer from having to take time off, spending right. time with family, and right. because you lose so much time or learning and growing, and especially with technology, it moves so quickly. And if you're out for a few months, or you have to focus on something else, or you can't take on a demanding project because you're primarily focused on your family, you're going to lose yeah. some ground. And that's right. natural, but mm-hmm. it is hard to find people who can always be there, always be on the projects at the level they need be. But I think that's where we've been able to bridge that with where we use pairing, where you're going to have mm-hmm. two developers working together on a project. So if you have one person, and honestly, the way it works at HashRocket, we would be just as it would happen that men would need to go and take care of family issues as much as the women yeah. would. And that seems fair. And we have equal time off for men having babies as women. So it's more about family. So I think having a pairing and an environment that understands that family is very important, and maybe that's something that women can especially bring to business mm-hmm. and yeah, encourage, absolutely. Say, it doesn't matter. You don't have to hide if your child is sick because your boss is going to understand. Or if yeah. somebody has to go and make sure, or there's some failure in daycare, or come in late because you're attending something at your child's school, is encouraged. And I think that also goes towards our culture and being able to keep talented people, because it's more than a job. It's part mm-hmm. of their life and part of their whole life, and their family plays as much part in the culture as the individual.
Wouldn't you say it's our job as leaders to show that behavior as well? So if we were women leading a company, but we never took off time for our families and we never did that, then it's almost as if we're saying that they're not allowed to, even if we're saying they the policy is they're allowed to, but then we never exhibited those behaviors, then in a way we're saying you can't. Do you know what I mean?
Right. So leading by example and just and sharing those challenges.
Yeah. And vulnerable in a sense.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, and I think you're a great example of that because you take time off to do the things that are really important and help you personally, like going on the workshops, the annual workshops in a different country every year with your colleagues. That shows your employees that you're focused on your own personal development and getting that time to refresh and become creative.
And also, given that I'm from Ireland, I've always taken 3 weeks in the summer to go and back to visit home. So I encourage people here, and some people who do come from other countries end up taking up to 5 weeks at a time. We'll work it around a project so it's not a problem. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important to grow as an individual and make sure that you're happy and that your work is part of that happiness rather than a constraint that you're working around to make sure that you can have a life.
I understand completely. I've always had that struggle because I'm obviously from Australia, so I don't like to let too much time pass. I try to go every year, every other year to Australia. My brother has young children. My father passed away recently, but I wanted to see my dad on a regular basis. So when you go as far as Australia, you can't just sort of go for a week and come back. It's you just can't do that. So I've always had to do that balance as well, but that is an important part of who I am. So making that time to be with my family is an extra complication. So working somewhere that supports me in that is really, really important.
Yeah. And I think as not being born in America, Europe, I know for sure, I'm sure Australia is the same, values time off a little bit differently than here in the States. And maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's a bad habit here. But maybe we can encourage more of that.
Here to that. Yeah. Anything you two can do to give us more time would be fantastic.
Working on it now.
Yeah,
I think it is a different cultural attitude. I would say that I feel like, you know, in America, where we think everything's going to fall apart if we're not there, whereas in they just have much clearer delineations that say, you know, the whole world is not going to fall apart in 6 weeks or 5 weeks. We can figure it out, or we can pair with someone, or someone can replace you, or it's a different mindset.
I mean, you can always keep in touch with everything while you're gone with the way technology is now.
Exactly.
You can do a little bit of work when you're not here. You can keep in touch and you can make sure that you're not putting somebody at a disadvantage because you're out by pitching in. Mm-hmm.
So do you do anything, Marion, around like mentorship at all through Hash Rocket? Do you all do anything around that?
Yeah, well, the Chicago office, particularly Jake there, and some of the, again, who were some Rocketeers that have left, they mentor, there's a code school for veterans there. Right. So they go and they pitch in with the veterans and they help them level up their skills. There's a really good opportunity for veterans because there's some sponsorship and a support from the government to help people make transitions into new career. So they help with training on that several times a year. Mm-hmm. Here, I'm part of a mentorship program here in Jacksonville, mostly on women and mentoring other women in professional areas. So I think the next event is that comes up in February. Mm-hmm. And I like to participate in some others on the leadership board at UNF. And that gives me more of an opportunity to encourage the curriculum there and the leaders in the computing and engineering department to embrace more of the web languages, because we have a lot of older technology in Jacksonville, where we have a lot of developers in Java, but less in the web application or modern web technology. So encouraging them and helping them, and they'll bring groups from classes to Hash Rocket to see how we work and to explore. And we have hired from people that we met through that program.
Nice. Do you ever send any of your developers to like other shops or anything, like where you switch shops for a week or something? I feel like you might have done that a long time ago.
Yeah, we've done that in the past. We tend to, more of what happens is that we end up working a week on site with some of our clients. And at the moment, we end up collaborating with other teams on projects, on bigger projects. Mm-hmm. So I think we've tended to meet other developers and mentor each other by working on bigger teams together. But obviously, the conferences are great, a great way of sharing information and getting inspiration and mentorship. So having people speak at conferences. We also have a conference budget for everybody at HashRocket. Nice. So you get a few days off and you get the budget to attend a conference.
That's really important. You mentioned Rocketeers. Can you explain to everyone what a Rocketeer is? I imagine these like Rocket Radio City, rocket legs kicking up and all that sort of stuff.
What's their job? That's part of the energy.
So if you work at HashRocket, then you're a Rocketeer. So sometimes
I love it.
We joke, and I said, "Well, you know, it's kind of Mouseketeer,
right?
Like at Disney World, yeah." But
I feel like we need an infographic around that, Jesse. If you could draw,
I'm already drawing. I've got half a leg done already.
A Rocketeer.
Yeah, we had some other play on words back in the early days too, where a hash rocket isn't that hot hackers is an anagram for hash rocket. So at one stage, we had some shirts that had hot hackers on the back, but we've evolved way past that. Where we were like, okay, that's not exactly PC, or, well, we're not hackers and we're not hot. So let's not put that on there. Right?
That's funny.
Well, you should see the sexy leg I'm drawing. It's really, really hot.
You got some hot hash rocket leg there.
Yeah.
Hey, Jesse, you forget I've seen your drawing.
Oh,
so
right, right. Super hairy, this leg.
That's funny. Well, I know that you was just saying that once someone has worked for HashRocket, that often people stay in contact. That's why you have the whole Rocketeer things. Tell us a little bit about that, like how you keep that continuity going, even when people move on to other places and you still share knowledge and share information.
Okay, so a few years back, one of the guys, again, usually people are leaving, they're ready for the next challenge, they've had an amazing opportunity, they're leaving, and they're wondering how they're going to stay in contact and keep the valuable relationships they have. So at one stage, one person, before he left, he set up an alumni Slack channel, which allowed everybody to invite everybody else. So we slowly but surely went back and got everybody invited. And it's been a great avenue for people to keep in touch. Obviously, you can direct message, you can share posts in a general way as well. But over the years, I've seen where people have been able to keep in contact. And as jobs and opportunities arose, I've seen where there's been 6+ developers from HashRocket in several companies together, where they're reaching out. And if the time is right, or the opportunity is right, they're getting the opportunity to continue to work together. At one stage, I think it was a Rails conference we attended, and one of the new people made the mistake of calling somebody saying, "Oh, you're an ex-HashRocket," and was very quickly corrected and told there is no such thing as ex-HashRocket. And once you're HashRocket, you're always HashRocket. So once a Rocketeer, always a Rocketeer.
That's awesome. What a great culture to say that's how employees feel about having worked for a company. And that's how you feel about employees who move on to other things. That's really terrific.
Well, now we did have, I'm sure Jesse remembers, we had some people who got HashRocket tattoos, but I don't have one. And also I don't encourage it. So over the years we get fake tattoos, but we're really big on swag, and we have at least one new shirt a year. And even now for Christmas, we got some new long sleeve shirts and some beanies. So
that's so cool.
So over the years, people had asked me, does HashRocket require people to wear shirts? Why do people wear shirts? And I was like, well, people like to wear, mm-hmm. even to the office on a daily basis, not just when we're attending conferences. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a cool logo and it's a cool company name. It's really awesome.
Yes, it is.
Even though we do get a lot of questions in airports when we're going through TSA. So sometimes if there's a group of us, we say we're a band.
That's what I always tell people, even if it's just one of me. I'm a band.
Yeah. You're like, what? What? You haven't heard Hash Rocket on the music scene?
Yeah.
You're lame.
Yeah, with the program people. Gosh. So should we play a game?
Absolutely.
Of course we should. I'm trying to figure out what game we should play because there's so many games. All right. So we've got two choices. We can play Burning Bridges. Mm-hmm. Or we can play No, You Didn't. You decide.
I don't know. They both sound so good. Because, Oh, No, You Didn't. Sounds really good. And then Burning Bridges, like, no one should ever do that, right?
It sounds a bit dangerous, I think.
I know.
No, You Didn't. Because we might have to share what we did.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. You pick, Jess.
I pick? Oh, okay. Let's see. I'm going to go with No, You Didn't.
Oh, no.
Yeah, here's how it works. So one of you is going to tell a story that's going to start out semi-truthful, but then the other two of us can say, no, you didn't at any point. And then you have to just change on a dime and then the story will just become fake. So for instance, if I said I was at RubyConf and I saw Ro, and then one of you goes, no, you didn't. And then I would say, oh yeah, you're right. I didn't. I saw an Uber driver and then I got in the car and then you might say, no, you didn't. And I was like, you're right. I skateboarded to the ice cream shop. So basically anytime somebody says, no, you didn't, you have to keep changing the story. And it's about like,
what if it's true though? You just say, yes, I did and move
on? Nope. You just have to make it up on the spot.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't matter.
Basically it becomes fake. Basically after the first 3 seconds, as soon as somebody says, no, you didn't, you're making up a story. You're just becoming totally fake. All right. Okay. So who wants to be the storyteller?
I have a story.
Okay.
Awesome.
So your story will be real until Allison and I stop you. And at any point we stop you, you're just going to have to go in some crazy, surprising direction.
Okay.
All right. So don't try to guide it. Just let it come out of your mouth and surprise yourself. All right.
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay, so we had our internal conference last week, and one of our guys now lives in Romania, and he came for the conference. So,
no, he didn't.
Oh, he came from Turkey.
Okay, great.
He came for the conference, and he was, you know, he's really big into paddleboarding. So,
oh, no, he isn't.
Well, he's not really. It's more like surfing.
Okay.
So he was out in the ocean here at Jack's Beach, and mm-hmm. he saw a shark.
No, he didn't.
But it really was a manatee.
Uh-huh.
And the manatee was floating upside down, and we think the manatee was dead.
No, it wasn't.
But it wasn't.
No, it really, and then it flipped back again, and it swam out to sea and pulled the board with our guy from Turkey on it, and they just kept going, and then we had to call the rescue.
No, you didn't.
No, it was really just the fire and rescue. It wasn't a helicopter. But then we decided we couldn't leave it in their hands, so we got a boat and we went straight out from the beach.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Okay, we launched it just down a little bit here where there is a proper launch. Okay, I didn't want to be too dramatic about it, but...
No, you didn't.
Okay, we ran into the waves and dumped it in there.
Oh, that was brilliant, Marion. You were very good at that. That was awesome.
Do you want to try, Allison?
Oh, I'm scared now. Because
you want me to do it?
Yeah, I want you to do it because Marion was so good.
She was good. I love that her manatee flipped upside down.
Yeah. And now, at some point, I want to hear the real story. Like, did this guy really get dragged by a shark out to sea?
You'll never know.
Damn. I don't like this game.
You think this sucks. Worst game Jesse's ever played.
All right, go Jesse.
Okay, so earlier this week, I was flying to Dallas.
And oh, no, you weren't.
You're right. I wasn't. I was flying to Gainesville. It's a very short flight. You basically get on and get off.
There's no flights to get to.
You're right. There's none. I just took my bicycle. I pedaled for 4 hours. I had a backpack and a rain jacket.
No, you didn't.
I didn't. I just had a rain jacket, no backpack. And so once I got to Gainesville, I wanted to go see a football game.
Oh, no, you didn't.
You're right. I hate football. I just wanted to eat. So I looked for the closest donut shop, and I got 3 jelly donuts for myself.
No, you didn't.
You're right. I got 12 Boston cream donuts, all for me. And once I finished eating the dozen donuts, I felt very sick to my stomach.
No, you didn't.
You're right. I felt great because it was a typical breakfast for me. I always eat 12 donuts to get the day started in Gainesville. Once I finished my donuts, I walked out the door and I tried to look to find my friend, Sarah.
Oh, no, you didn't.
You're right. I don't have a friend named Sarah. I don't have any friends, actually. So I just looked for the stadium and it was hard to find.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't hard to find. It was actually like right in front of the donut shop. There was the stadium. It said football. And so I walked straight in onto the field.
Oh, no, you didn't.
You're right. I didn't. I needed to get on my uniform first. And luckily I fit in it because I ate so many donuts I could play defense.
Oh, no, you didn't.
You're right. It was a linebacker.
Okay. Cha-ching.
Cha-ching. The end. I won the game and went home on my bicycle.
Very good.
Yeah, none of that was true except for the donuts. Anyway, good job, people.
Excellent.
So thanks for playing. Marianne, tell us, what do you have coming up? Tell us about some of the conferences you're going to have in 2019.
Yeah, so we didn't host. We had Ancient City Ruby that we've hosted in St. Augustine here for 4 years, mm-hmm. and we're going to host it this year again in April.
Oh, nice.
And we haven't finalized the venue yet, so we need to work on that pretty quickly at this stage.
Yeah.
But we would like to be able to show people more of the beach area of North Florida, so we're going to try and have the venue a bit closer to the beach this year, and nice. Again, and we'll have talks that are Rails, Ruby and Rails, also Elixir and React. We tend to put on a conference that we want to attend ourselves and bring the people we love to hear.
What month is that?
That's April. Beginning of April. So
okay,
you should.
I want to go. Yeah.
You got to go. Yeah.
Nice.
Okay. I look forward to seeing you.
Yeah.
And we also have, this year we're going to host a Chicago Elixir conference.
Oh, nice.
That's September. In Chicago, we host Chicago Elixir, and the group's grown a lot. So we know there's a big demand. So that would be our first time hosting an Elixir conference in
Fantastic.
Chicago. So we're excited, and we're starting to work on that. And we've got really good response from the people that attend our meetups. So we think that's definitely going to be a thing.
Nice. And where can they look for all that information? Will that be on the Hash Rocket site or in the Meetup group?
Yeah, it will. And I'm sure we'll post it out in meetup.com and any of the other, we'll be tweeting about it as well.
Okay. And we'll have all the information too when we share all this on social media as well. So
okay.
We can put it
That's great. So it's going to be fun. And we look forward to, we bring everybody to whatever conference we're from the office, so it's another opportunity to hang out, and looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of work, but a lot of fun.
Highly recommended.
Okay.
Excellent. Want you to know, I just had to hold back really hard from saying, oh no, you didn't all the time.
I'm like, Allison, we're not playing anymore. No, you didn't.
Oh no, you didn't.
Well, you know, the story is, we know Allison is competitive, and that's why
that's why
she pulled, showing off her cartwheeling skills.
Yes, her poor husband tonight. She's going to be at dinner. She'll be like, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. Like, one more time, Chris will be cursing me for us. Well, thank you, Marianne, so much for sharing your time with us today and your story. So many good things.
Yes.
And hopefully I'll see you before we end up seeing each other at OpsConf in...
Oh my gosh, we better.
Yeah. In Maine, I think, this year.
Yes, Maine it is.
Yes,
Maine
I think is. We definitely need to put a lunch date on the calendar because... Well, the three of us, as we said, we meet up in other countries and in other cities, but never in our hometown. So we need to do it.
Yes, okay, that sounds great. Here's resolution or something.
There That's you right. go. Sounds nice. Great.
Thank you
very much. Thanks for the opportunity to talk to you and really great catching up.
Awesome. Thanks, Marion.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
I really enjoyed talking to Marion today. It's such an amazing thing that she's a woman CEO and of a group of developers and that they do work all over the world. I love that about talking to her today. And I'm also impressed that she's not just isolating herself and her company to her customers, that she does so much out in the community. I loved hearing about the mentorship program she's running for coding with veterans in Chicago. And also the mentorship program she's running for women in Chicago. Now, having both offices in Chicago and in Jacksonville, she's really working with all of those communities. She's on the board of the University of North Florida here, working with their computing and engineering group. And I think it's amazing when a company reaches out into their communities. And also they're running the Ancient City Ruby Drive here in conference in Jacksonville. So just so many amazing things that she's doing. I was really impressed with everything.
Definitely. I think one of the reasons I've always loved HashRocket is their sense of culture. And you can see that how they're involved out in the community and in all the programs that they do. It's also really obvious when you go into their offices, they are so much about culture and nurturing the people that they have as part of their company. One of the things they're really proud of is their work-life balance, how they treat their Rocketeers that she mentioned mm-hmm. in the podcast. And what I really loved is when she talked about how one of the ways they've been able to give people time off, whether they need to take time off because they've had a baby or there's an illness or something like that, is they do pair programming. And they do that not only for the client to have two sets of brains, eyes and ears on a project, but this also allows somebody who needs to stay home or has an emergency or needs to take time off for something, it allows them the freedom to be able to do that and not worry because there's more than one person pairing on a project. And I really liked that as kind of an actionable way people could think about that for their own companies and say, like, what's a way we could give people that time off if they need it? And pairing is a great example of how you could do that.
Yeah, pairing is always awesome because it allows, for the client, it allows two different perspectives and two different points of view, but also from, like you said, from a work-life balance, it gives you the opportunity to not have one person with all the knowledge on a particular project. So it's an excellent thing to do. So I was really impressed with that also. So you want to replay the segment where Marion talks about that?
Let's do it.
It's been hard because we, at the level that we're hiring and the expertise, and I've always felt it, it's women in any industry on the higher levels will always suffer from having to take time off, spending time with family, and because you lose so much time or learning and growing, and especially with technology, it moves so quickly. And if you're out for a few months or you have to focus on something else or you can't take on a demanding project because your primary focus on your family, you're going to lose some ground. And that's natural. But it is hard to find people who can always be there, always be on the projects at the level they need be. But I think that's where we've been able to bridge that with where we use pairing, where you're going to have two developers working together on a project. So if you have one person, and honestly, the way it works at HashRocket, we would be just as it would happen that men would need to go and take care of family issues as much as the women would. And that seems fair. And we have equal time off for men having babies as women. So it's more about family. So I think having a pairing and an environment that understands that family is very important, and maybe that's something that women can especially bring to business and encourage, say, it doesn't matter, you don't have to hide if your child is sick because your boss is going to understand, or if somebody has to go and make sure, or there's some failure in daycare or come in late because you're attending something at your child's school, is encouraged. And I think that also goes towards our culture and being able to keep talented people, because it's more than a job. It's part of their life and part of their whole life, and their family plays as much part in the culture as the individual.
You've been listening to Women Who Change Tech, the podcast that connects you to extraordinary women for deep, inspiring conversations.